We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Proverbs chapter 1. And as you're turning, just want to share a little something with you. On a visit to Boston, I noticed a parking meter with a paper sack over it, upon which was written, "Broken." A skeptical parking officer removed the bag, inserted a quarter in the meter, and turned the dial. It worked perfectly. As the officer began to write a parking ticket, the car's owner rushed out of a nearby building. "Hold on a minute," he yelled, after a quick glance at the meter. "Look, there's plenty of time on it." Thanks to the officer. Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about the call of wisdom. Amen. No doubt, every single one of us has a desire for wisdom. Certainly, as a born-again believer, we should have a desire to be wise about the Word of God. We're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 1, skip down to verse 20. "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, when they call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." So as we read and look through this passage this morning, there's one thing that stands clear in this passage. It's that wisdom is referred to as a person. This is done so that we can understand that when wisdom is speaking, it's speaking with the same authority as God. Amen? Basically, wisdom's voice here in this passage is God's voice. It's the voice of God. So this call of wisdom, we need to understand that it is the calling of God, plain and simple. After waiting an hour and a half for her date, a lady decided that she had been stood up. She decides to change out of her dinner dress and jumps into her PJs. She makes some popcorn and she plops down on the couch right in front of the TV. No sooner does she sit down, but the doorbell rings. She jumps up, opens the door, and lo and behold, it's her date. He looks, takes one good look at her and says, "I can't believe it. I'm late. I'm an hour and a half late and you're still not ready." Now that's a fun way to look at not being ready, but in our passage, we're going to see a much more serious side to that question. Are you ready? Amen. For one day, and one day very soon, as the Bible indicates that we are certainly living in the last days, God will send out his final call. Here we see wisdom's call, God's calling to us. And there will be one day soon that God will send out his final call to all mankind. There is a deadline in front of every single one of us. Amen? We all have a deadline. And we're going to take a clear look at that this morning, as we look in this passage, as we take a very close look at wisdom's final calling. The first thing I want us to look at is wisdom's invitation. Wisdom's invitation. Verse 20 and 21 again. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Now remember that this is God's voice. This is God calling out. And there's a couple things that we need to look at here about this invitation. And the first and one of the most important ideas and things that we need to understand about this invitation is that it is a call to all. Amen? God's calling is to everyone. God's invitation is to all mankind, not just a chosen few, not just a select few. It's very clear, the Bible makes it very clear, it's an invitation to all, to anyone who wants to hear and heed. Amen? God's invitation. Now, there's many private organizations in the world. Amen? There's a lot of private organizations out there that, you know, when they meet, they pass on, you know, so-called secret information or secret knowledge that to their members. Stuff that people on the outside just aren't supposed to know or shouldn't know about. I don't know about you, but to me, if it's that great and it's that valuable of information, common sense says it ought to be told to everyone. Amen? Praise God that Jesus proclaimed, "All that I do, nothing is done in secret or in private." Amen? Praise God that He loved the world. God so loved the world and not just a select few. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Amen. It's very clear that we are to keep the faith, but not to ourselves. Amen. We are to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to let the whole world know that Jesus saves, that He loves every single one of us unconditionally, and God's invitation is for everyone, not just a select few. Amen. It's a call to all. Second thing I want us to see, it's not just a call to all, but it's also a dire invitation. Verses 20 and 21 in our text, we see here over and over, says it, she calls aloud, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice, she cries out. You can almost feel the urgency and hear the tear in her voice as she calls out and she invites. It's that same urgency and same tear in our voice that we need to have for the lost as well. Amen? Many churchgoers today, they don't like the altar call. They say, "I don't believe in urging people to get right with God." Well, listen, that altar call is simply an invitation to all. Exactly what the Bible does. It's not an invitation from me as pastor. It's not an invitation from this church. It's an invitation from God Himself. Amen? It's a call to all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Listen to what the Bible says. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Amen? That's an invitation. That's a persuasion for all to come. It's also a patient invitation. Look at verse 22. "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity?" How long? That's speaking of God's patience. I don't know about you, but I am absolutely amazed that Almighty God has put up with us as long as He has. Amen? I'm amazed that He would even bother with us as often as we rebel Him and ignore Him and thumb our nose at Him and just flat out reject Him. But God is patient. And most today are just flat out oblivious to God's calling on their life. And here in this verse, we see three separate groups that God puts those that don't heed His calling. Look at these groups that God makes. First, He talks about the simple ones. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? God's talking about those who are gullible, those who are careless, those who are easily deceived. And I believe most of the unsaved people fall into this group. They're not outright wicked and horrible people. Amen. They're just wrapped up in their own little world. And they become careless with their soul and with the things of God and with God Himself. Amen. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple, they pass on and are punished. They don't slow down. They don't stop to think that there is a death to die. There is a hell to shun. There is a Savior to need. And there is a paradise to gain. They just get wrapped up in their own little world, that they're oblivious to all those things around them. And what we need to understand is that God is still patient, even with the simple ones. Amen? But over time, these simple ones will turn into the second group. For scorners delight in their scorning. These are the ones who make fun at God and the things of God. They mock godly things. They mock Christians. They mock the church. They mock God's word. But one thing we need to understand is that God still loves them, and God is still patient even with the scorners. We need to understand that a person is not a sinner because they're a scorner. A person is a scorner because they are a sinner. Amen? A sinner sins because why? They're a sinner. A scorner is simply a cynical sinner. Now, those scorners will eventually progress into that third group, the outright fool. These are the ones who just hate God. They hate godly wisdom. They hate godly knowledge. They hate the Bible. And just flat out anything about God. Now, we also need to understand that when the Bible talks about a fool, it's not talking about a person's IQ. Amen? It means that they have chosen to live, they have chosen to believe contrary to God and His Word. That's God's definition of a fool. Someone who just chooses to flat right reject Him and flat out reject His word and His direction. Verse 23, this is that progression that we see. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. When you begin to love what you should hate, you will soon hate what you ought to love. That's God's message here. And yet, with a tear in His voice, God still calls out, even to that fool that is full of hate, with love and with patience. God loves all of us unconditionally. Amen. We hear that all the time. I say it over and over. But we need to understand that all means all, and that's all that all means. And God loves all of us. The simple, the scorners, those that just outright hate Him. The fool. God loves all of us unconditionally. And He is calling out to us, a tear in His voice, and He's reaching out to us with those nail-scarred hands. And He is pleading with us, patiently, lovingly, to come unto Him. That's wisdom's invitation. Next, we need to see wisdom's persuasion. It's sad, but many believe that they just aren't smart enough to understand God's Word, to understand the Bible. There is only one ability that you need to understand God's Word, and that is a willing heart. That's it. It doesn't take a master's degree. It doesn't take a deep education. All you need to do is get to a place where you can allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Be sincere, have a willing heart to truly want to understand and learn more about God. And He will. Amen? It's that simple. Verse 23. Turn at my rebuke, God says. Surely I will pour out my Spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. God gives us three steps to wisdom here. Three steps to gaining wisdom. And the first step right here in verse 23, He says, turn at my rebuke. He's talking about repentance. To repent means to turn away from sin and to turn to Jesus Christ. That's what repent means. So when He says here that to turn at my rebuke, He's talking about repentance. We cannot hear God's voice. Where does God's voice come from? His Word. We cannot hear God's voice without repentance. Amen? Second step, after we turn and repent, we turn away from our sins and we turn to Christ, the moment of salvation, God says, I will surely pour out my Spirit on you. God's Holy Spirit. The spiritual truths of the Bible, God's wisdom, cannot be understood without His Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We cannot understand the spiritual truths of God's Word without God's Holy Spirit discerning them, giving us wisdom to understand them. Amen? We have to understand that. Once we repent of our sins, once we turn to Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive God's Holy Spirit that abides inside of us. And apart from this, we can read the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, 4, 5, 6 times over and over. We'll learn a bunch of facts about the Bible, but we cannot understand those deep spiritual truths apart from God's Holy Spirit discerning them for us. Amen? We could never understand those deep truths without His Holy Spirit. Then we see the third step, going back to our original text. After we turn at His rebuke, we turn to Christ, we receive His Holy Spirit, He says, then I will make my words known to you. Listen. The Word of God contains the words of God. Amen? We need to understand that. The Word of God contains the words of God. He's talking about the assurance that we have in His Word, the assurance that we have in the Bible. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's Word. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. God promises wisdom to all who are willing to receive it. Amen? A willing heart is all it takes. So it starts with repenting of your sins, receiving Christ as your personal Savior. The moment of salvation, you're indwelt with God's Holy Spirit. And it's God's Holy Spirit that guides us into truth, that guides us into knowledge, that discerns those spiritual truths for us. Amen? Last thing I want us to see in this passage is wisdom's indignation. Now, you won't hear it from a lot of pulpits anymore today, but God can absolutely become angry and indignant. But what we need to understand is that it is a righteous and holy anger, much different from the anger that we know, and that is a selfish anger. You know, when someone hurts us, we take it personal, and then we lash out in anger. That's a selfish anger. That's not God's anger. God's anger is righteous, it is holy. And when God's holiness is insulted, God will become indignant. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. God has a righteous indignation towards those that choose to reject him, that choose to reject his invitation. Let's go back to our original passage. Skip down to verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. God's desire and patient invitations are repeatedly ignored. That's the picture that God is painting here. Generation after generation, more and more are starting to ignore God's invitation. They're ignoring God's patience. And we need to understand, and this is God's calling here, this is God's warning in His Word today, that there will come a time when God's patience will run out. And when it does, His invitation will then turn to indignation. Amen? It will turn to a righteous anger. And as more and more blatantly reject and refuse him, his patience and his invitations will run out. And when it does, his wrath will be poured out upon each and every single person that freely and willfully chose to reject his patience, his grace, and his unconditional love. That is what God is talking about here. That's the calling that God has here. And we need to understand that this is not His desire for any of us. Amen. That's not what God wants for any of us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but he is long-suffering toward us. That word long-suffering means patient. God is patient. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that a great verse? God is not willing. God does not desire that any should perish, but that all. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means. Not a select few, not a chosen few. It plain and simply says here that God's desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart's desire for every single one of us. But we also understand that He created us with a free will, which means that we can freely choose to refuse and to reject God's calling. Proverbs 1, verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. God calls us and He invites us to come to Him over and over and over and in many, many different ways. It might come from somebody inviting you to church. It might come from a gospel song on the radio. It may come from you just picking up the Bible and reading a random piece of scripture. Over and over, God is reaching out to us, patiently calling upon us to come to Him. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 23. Jesus cried out, He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stoned those who are sent to her." Who sent them? God sent them Himself. He was trying to get their attention. Those prophets were the ones delivering His invitation. "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." God says over and over, "I would, but you would not." Over and over and over. But praise God that Jesus is still reaching out with those nail-scarred hands today. He's still calling, and He's still pleading, and He's still inviting all to come unto Him. And we still have the privilege to come or to freely refuse. It's our choice. God will never force Himself on anyone. He will patiently call upon your heart. He will patiently invite you to come, but He will never force Himself upon you. It's your choice to accept Him or to refuse Him. But one day soon, we need to understand that God's invitation will turn to indignation to those who choose to reject Him. Skip down to verse 25 in our text. He said, "Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and they despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." What God is saying here is that in the end, man will reap exactly what he sowed. Those that pointed the finger and mocked God, God will in turn mock them. God says at that point, it's too late to call out to Him. They've already made their choice. They chose to reject His calling. That day will come when God's invitation will stop and it will turn to indignation. And that is what God is warning us here. But as I said earlier, thank God that today is still the day of salvation. Amen. Today, if you want God's unconditional love, you can have it. If you want God's grace and His mercy, you can have it. Verse 33. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Friend, don't be foolish and let God's invitation pass you by.